Are you a billionaire? Odds are you're not. They're few and far between, according to Forbes. There's, you know, a little north of 1,600 of them on the whole planet. But their names come up a lot in the world of politics, where a billionaire's support can put a candidate or a cause on the map. It's led to controversy in the U.S. and elsewhere over how much influence is too much. Our next guest tackles that controversy in his new book. Darrell West is Vice President of Governance Studies and Director of the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution. His new book is Billionaires, Reflections on the Upper Crust. Darrell, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Nice to be with you.
So how much more influence do billionaires have on American politics than everybody else?
They have a lot of influence. Of course, the concentration of wealth is much greater now than it has been in a number of decades. We basically have the same level of income concentration dating back to the 1920s. But also, the laws on political activity are much looser now, in part because of all the Supreme Court decisions. And so the thing that I worry about is that our politics has returned to a pre-Watergate era of great secrecy and big money. And that's always a toxic combination for democracies.
Well, how much more access does a billionaire have to, say, a high-level policymaker than anyone else?
They have a great deal of access because it used to be under the old campaign finance rules that there were limits on how much politicians could contribute to candidates. But now in the world of super PACs, you have individuals who are spending $100,000 or above. In the 2012 election, we had some billionaires who spent ten or hundreds of millions of dollars on that campaign. And so obviously politicians pay attention to that, and it gives those wealthy individuals unusual access to our government officials.
And you mentioned the get a senator policy. How does that play out?
Well, this is something a wealthy individual, I was talking with him, and he's the one who described this strategy for me. You know, we're all familiar with congressional gridlock and the fact that, you know, it's hard to get anything done. And he said that there are some individuals who basically they try and find a sympathetic senator, and when an appointment comes that they don't like, they can convince that senator to place a secret hold on that nomination so that it can't be considered by the Senate. We are, of course, familiar with individual senators who filibuster legislation. And the New York Times actually had an interesting example of this. Bill Ackman is a Wall Street financier, was very upset with his company, Herbalife. He questioned the business model of this company. He was able to get Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts to write letters to the Securities and Exchange Commission demanding an investigation of this company and also to the Federal Trade Commission. So, you know, there's evidence that people actually are engaging in this type of strategy.
So they have some outsized influence in terms of access. They can spend money on election, but there aren't many billionaires. They only get to vote once, just like everybody else. Aren't there countervailing forces out there, advocacy groups and the like, that can kind of balance out their influence?
Absolutely. And we saw that in the 2012 presidential election because there are all these wealthy individuals who tried to defeat Obama, and obviously they lost. But these are smart business people. What those individuals have done is to go back and analyze their own failure. They have dissected their 2012 strategy, and they've come back this year with a retooled message. In 2012, they had kind of dry analytical criticisms about big government and high debt levels. This year, they're basically in their ads, they're putting ordinary people around the kitchen table and having them talk about Obamacare and why they think Obamacare is bad for them and they can't see the doctor that they want to see and their costs are rising. And so there's a possibility that these individuals can be much more successful in 2014 than they were in 2012.
So those are conservative billionaires. Aren't there liberal billionaires involved in politics? Do they balance each other out?
There certainly are liberal billionaires. We see the example of Michael Bloomberg, who's been very active in fighting gun violence. This year, he's pledged $50 million to take on the NRA and to try and elect people who are sympathetic to his cause. He's also been very active on promoting immigration reform. Tom Steyer is a billionaire who's probably less well-known than many of these other individuals. He has pledged $100 million in this year's elections to try and elevate public awareness about climate change. And then, of course, George Soros has been active in building grassroots networks for a number of years. So there certainly are some billionaires who are more liberal and who support democratic causes.
When it comes to the range of opinions on various topics, though, are billionaires, do they represent the same range of opinions as everyone else? They just have more money? Or are there issues that they look at really differently than the population as a whole?
I mean, if they were perfectly representative in terms of public opinion, we wouldn't be having this conversation and people wouldn't be worried about them. But in fact, there has been research that compares the views of really rich people with the general public and finds that wealthy individuals tend to be more conservative. They're less willing to support investments in education and health care. They are much more likely to support tax cuts. And so you can see why this creates problems for our political system.
And you say that even the more liberal billionaires, on that last issue you mentioned, tax cuts, they may be more in line with their conservative peers.
Definitely. I mean, even liberal billionaires actually don't like to pay higher taxes. Probably no big surprise there. And in 2012, this is actually a problem for President Obama because there are all these conservative billionaires who are spending a lot on behalf of Republicans. But the liberal billionaires did not like Obama's rhetoric on raising taxes on the wealthy people. And so they either sat on their hands or they made a relatively small contribution to the campaign. And so, you know, that created real issues. So on that issue, we often see kind of liberal and conservative billionaires staking out the same type of position.
So you say outsized influence for billionaires, different opinions than the population as a whole. Does this translate into billionaires make government less representative?
Well, they certainly have become very adept at pushing their own particular viewpoints. Now, at the state level, we see a wide range of issue advocacy on the part of billionaires. We have billionaires who have put a lot of money into same-sex marriage, legalizing marijuana, fighting gun violence, reforming pensions. A lot of billionaires have actually migrated to the state level because, you know, a number of states have the referenda process, and so you can put issues directly on the ballot and, you know, if you can persuade voters to go for it, that produces public policy right there. They also realize that the state level is advantageous because news organizations are much weaker at the state level than what we see nationally. There have been studies by the American Journalism Review just tracking the number of reporters who cover state government. And over the last 15 years, there's been a precipitous drop in those numbers. So there's a lot less accountability in terms of the big spending that takes place in individual states.
We're talking to Darrell West of the Brookings Institution about his new book, Billionaires. You can join the conversation. Are you worried about the influence of the very wealthiest in Wisconsin or around the world? Or have they earned that extra influence? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Darrell West, talking about the influence and power of the wealthiest of the wealthy. His new book is called Billionaires, Reflections on the Upper Crust. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think the wealthiest citizens of the U.S. have too much influence or no? Do you think laws need to change to limit that influence, or does that infringe on free speech and free association rights? You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Darrell, you talk about some solutions in your book, ways to reduce the power of billionaires, the influence they have on American politics. One of the things you say is to fix our governance, and you start with the Senate.
The Senate is a key place for this get a senator strategy just because of its rules that allow secret holds to block nominations and the use of the filibuster to stop legislation. And so if we're serious about kind of looking at the governance aspects of these wealth inequalities that I'm talking about, we need to eliminate the secret holds on appointments. I mean, senators should at least be accountable. Like if they want to block a nomination, they should be forced to go public with that and explain why they think someone is not qualified for a particular office. Also, I believe we need filibuster reform, because right now one individual can basically stop the entire chamber from taking action. So I think those are some ideas that would help make a difference in this area.
And you're hoping to see more transparency in the way political contributions happen.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems. It's not just the big spending that we're seeing, but the fact that often we don't know who is behind that money. And so we have lost transparency. Like if you go back 20 years, we actually had much greater transparency in terms of campaign finance. But because of the recent Supreme Court decisions, they've blown gaping holes in our campaign finance rules. And so it's much easier for rich people to spend large amounts of money trying to influence the process.
We'll go to your calls now for Daryl West, author of the new book, Billionaires, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Daniel in Minong. Daniel, hi.
Hello. Wisconsin Governor Walker received large contributions from the Koch brothers, who are multi-billionaires. Are billionaires buying governors and grooming them for presidential candidacy? Are billionaires buying the presidency?
Daniel, thanks for the call. Daryl?
Well, they certainly tried in 2012 and failed, but it doesn't mean they won't be successful in the future. Certainly, the Koch brothers are the poster boys of billionaire political activism. Between the two of them, Charles and David, they control about $100 billion in assets. In this year's Senate races, it's estimated they're going to spend over $290 million, which, you know, to all of us sounds like a lot of money, but if you have $100 billion, you know, it's kind of pocket change for them.
And you mentioned that last political campaign in the Republican primary. Newt Gingrich was riding high, and a lot of his campaign drew from the support of one billionaire.
Absolutely. Sheldon Adelson, who owns casinos in Las Vegas and elsewhere, was Gingrich's big funder. And so, you know, after it became clear that Gingrich was not doing well, he was losing primaries, like typically in that situation, the candidate is forced to drop out of the race. But if you have a billionaire at your side who's willing to put a lot of money into your campaign, you can basically stick around as long as you want and as long as that billionaire will keep funding you. So it is starting to alter the nature of the nominating process. Sheldon Adelson a few months ago held a gathering in Las Vegas that came to be known as the Sheldon primary. You had a bunch of Republican contenders basically go to this conference in hopes of developing their relationship with him, knowing that he's going to be a very crucial player in the 2016 presidential process.
And as with the candidates you mentioned, political causes, especially at the state level, are very dependent on, in some ways, the quirks and whims of billionaires. Can a billionaire really put an agenda item on the map in a state or even at the national level?
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's at the state level where billionaires have achieved their greatest successes and where they have some of their strongest influence. Because, you know, if you have a mid-sized state like Wisconsin, someone can come in and spend $2.5 million or $5 million, and that's a big deal for a Wisconsin election. I mean, you can buy a lot of money buy a lot of influence for that. You know, in a large state like New York or California, $2.5 million wouldn't be so much. And so billionaires have discovered that between the fact that their money goes a long way in smaller states and the fact that the news media often don't have the same capacity to report on what's going on, as was the case 10 years ago, that you can end up with a one-sided campaign. Now, sometimes this benefits conservative causes. Other times it can benefit liberal causes. But it certainly is an example kind of showing the power of big money.
Moving back to your solutions ideas, you mentioned news coverage just now. You'd like to see a change in journalism and the way issues and these billionaires are covered.
Well, we need to have more coverage of what is going on. Now, it's harder today because of all the secrecy, because billionaires have discovered that they can be influential through direct campaign contributions, but they also have formed nonprofit organizations. So a lot of individuals, both on the left and the right, now have nonprofit organizations with which they work. They often don't have to report contributions to these groups, and so it's hard to figure out what's going on. And so we need better news coverage, but it's actually a big problem getting the information that would allow reporters to report on these types of activities.
So you mentioned concentrations of wealth comparable to, 90 years ago or so. Does the influence of the very wealthiest in this country ebb and flow, or is it just flowing higher and higher for the foreseeable future?
It does ebb and flow. Like, a lot of people basically have said, hey, you know, every society has rich people. The United States always has had rich people, and certainly, you know, we remember the Rockefellers and the Carnegies. But when you look at patterns of income concentration during the 20th century and now into the 21st century, we see the high point of income concentration was in the 1920s, and then it dropped down considerably in the post-World War II period. But then basically starting about 1980 and for the last 30 years, it's actually risen back, so that the current level of wealth concentration is as unequal as it was during the 1920s.
All right, Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Daryl West of the Brookings Institution. We've been talking about his new book. It's Billionaires: Reflections on the Upper Crust. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.